Gracious God, we ask that you would speak to us today. That you would teach us, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us. That you would help us know you better, and in so doing, we'd understand ourselves and our world better. We pray that we would follow you faithfully. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Author Robert Greene, in a book called The 48 Laws of Power, begins, "The feeling of having no power over people and events is generally unbearable to us. When we feel helpless, we feel miserable. No one wants less power. Everyone wants more. In the world today, however, it's dangerous to seem too power hungry, to be overt with your power moves. We have to seem fair and decent, so we need to be subtle, congenial yet cunning, democratic yet devious." Basically, as we talk about strength and power today, we find a strange dilemma. We don't want to surrender any of the power we have. We don't want to give it up. We don't want less of it. And yet we don't like the people we know who have power. We don't like the people who are hungry for power or who pursue power. And so what are we to do? Green goes on to illustrate the point a little bit further. In a monarch's court, now or long, long ago, everyone centers around the person in power, the king, the queen, the emperor, the leader, the ruler, whatever. But in some ways, everyone in that court is there for power too. They work with and for and against the people in power and everyone else to try and gain more strength, authority, power for themselves. In some ways, the reason you are there in the court in the first place is to raise your position, to increase your authority. That said, you can't be seen doing it, because then your fellow courtiers would start to act against you to gain power for themselves. And so there's kind of this dance. You attempt to win the master's favor and yet not let anyone else know, sometimes even yourself know, that that's what you're trying to do. Obviously, luckily, we don't live in that kind of arcane world anymore. And yet many of us still struggle to get ahead of others, strive to appear successful and strong, stress over being seen and noticed and desired, strain to reach the top. What are we really after, if not more power? What is power? Maybe a better question as we begin this sermon. Physics defines power as the rate of doing work, or work over time, or force times velocity. I took a lot of physics classes, so I apologize. But in other words, all of those are about change. All of power is about getting something done. It's about our capacity to accomplish a goal. Social science takes the same idea and applies it to people, to relationships, to communities. Power then is about our capacity to influence others. French and Raven identified five different types or bases of power. The first is legitimate power. So think your boss at work. It's the formal right to make demands and expect compliance. This is org chart power. That's legitimate power. Number two is reward power. I can compensate you to do something. I'll give you $1 million. I'll give you $10 million if you do that. That's reward power. Third is expert power. There's power in having a high level of skill or knowledge. Oh, you need my information. Well, it's going to cost you. The fourth they call referent power. This is the result of a person's perceived attractiveness, worthiness, and right to others' respect. Think influence here. Think charisma here. Think beauty here. Think mentoring here. Think famous people here. Making people want to follow you. And finally, there's coercive power. This stems from the belief that the person can punish others for noncompliance. If you don't do this, I'll whatever. All five of these different types of power are there so that we can influence others, to help them, encourage them, or make them do something. Of course, there's also our own power. As we're talking about power, it's not just our power to influence others. There's a power innate in us as well. But where does that strength come from? I mean, let's recognize that we also need power to simply get things done, to see something through, to make something happen. We need the power to get up in the morning, sometimes more than others. We need the strength to tackle a to-do list, the ability to accomplish something difficult, the steadfastness to stick to something again and again. Where does this power come from? Can and should it be something we're trying to get more of? Where do we find strength when life gets hard? That's what I want us looking at today. But first, let me simply remind you of where we are and where we've been. This summer, we're looking at the attributes of God Almighty, an effort to try and get to know God better. Basically, what is God like? What does the Bible describe God's attributes as? How are we to understand who God is? We spent the first few weeks looking at what could be called the moral attributes of God, God's goodness, His justice, His mercy, His holiness. We spent a couple weeks looking at what could be called the mental attributes of God, God's knowledge, God's wisdom. And now we're looking at what could be called the purposeful attributes of God. Does God have the authority to get what He wants? Does He have the today strength and power to get what He wants? Does He have the freedom to do what He wants? But then maybe God has also given us a small measure of this same authority, strength, and freedom in Christ. Now, He hasn't given up any of these things, but maybe He has invited us to share in them, still under His ultimate authority. And so maybe it then becomes up to us to steward any of this authority or strength or freedom that we find under His total authority. And so with a slight bit of trepidation, let's try and understand God's strength and God's power a little bit better before trying to humbly figure out what that may mean for us. So if you would, I would invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 14 in your Bibles. Exodus chapter 14. This story picks up after the Israelites have spent 400 years enslaved in Egypt. God taps a guy named Moses to have a little talk with Pharaoh, and Moses tells Pharaoh, let God's people go. Since we're talking about power this morning, it's not bad to notice that Moses has no power of his own. Pharaoh is the most powerful man in the known world at that time. Of course, Moses also has an ace in the hole, a reservoir of untapped, unlimited power, which is good because, unsurprisingly, Pharaoh says no to Moses' request. And God brings powerful plagues against Pharaoh, the nation, and the gods of Egypt. And with a strong hand, He brings the people out. Well, that's fine for a little, but soon the Pharaoh has second thoughts. He changes his mind, and so he gathers his charioteers and pursues this fleeing rabble of ex-slaves. And Pharaoh catches them easily, just as they're coming to the edge of the Red Sea. They are literally stuck between the devil and the deep Red Sea, I guess is how it would have to be said. But again, God shows up powerfully. He splits the sea so that the people can walk across on dry ground. And when they're all safe, Pharaoh then and his army pursues, which is when God then returns the waters back into their places, defeating Pharaoh's army. And Moses, overwhelmed by God's faithfulness and power, just bursts into a song of praise. And that's our passage today. It's in Exodus chapter 15, but we'll start one verse earlier in 14, verse 31. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them by the power of your arm. They will be as still as a stone until your people pass by, Lord, until the people you brought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. Amen. One of the things that is obvious from our passage is simply God's strength and God's power. We should probably begin by noticing just how important this is. If you remember last week, we talked about God's sovereignty. God has the authority to do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. But without strength, without power, without ability, that authority is impotent and useless. A pastor named A.W. Tozer says it this way, sovereignty and omnipotence must go together. One cannot exist without the other. To reign, God must have power. And to reign sovereignly, he must have all power. You see, God's sovereignty is contingent on God's power, on God's agency, on God's ability. I mean, it's one thing to decide that something should be done, but what happens if you can't get it done? In many ways, the primary purpose of power is to see one's will done. And so if you want something done, you'll need more power. And obviously, God's will is done and done perfectly. A guy named A.W. Pink quotes Charnock and writes, "The power of God is that ability and strength whereby he can bring to pass whatsoever he pleases, whatsoever his infinite wisdom may direct, and whatsoever the infinite purity of his will may resolve. As holiness is the beauty of all God's attributes, so power is that which gives life and action to all the perfections of the divine nature." So if God decides to do something, his power gets it done. God's strength sees God's will done. Interestingly, this also may answer a nice piece of trivia that often gets kind of thrown around at Christians at times. Can God do anything? Can God do the impossible? Can God make a square circle? Can God make a rock that's so big he can't move it? And maybe, surprisingly, the answer is no. All powerful means he can do anything he desires to do. He can do anything that is his will to do. But that's not always what we understand or want or even hope it to be. And of course, his will is so much higher than ours, we can't fathom what he might be doing at times. So it's ours to humbly trust his wisdom and power. But we also understand that if he's not doing what we want, it's not because he can't or because he isn't strong enough. It's not a lack of strength that causes him to not do exactly what we want. Because unlike us, God doesn't spend his strength. God doesn't lose his power when he uses his power because he is perfectly powerful. So he never runs out. He never gets too tired. He's never less able. He may not do what we want, when we want, or how we want, but it's not because he lacks the strength. Furthermore, sometimes we find that God gives us strength, as if he wanted us to do something. And when he does, he still doesn't lose any of his strength. He never becomes less. God's power is unlimited. He is what we would call almighty. Of course, at this point in this series, you may not be surprised by anything I just said. And what's more, you may be asking the question, okay, that's great, but what does that have to do with us? And this is where the sermon actually might be helpful, or at least interesting. Because the reality is that God gives us strength. God allows us to gain and use power. God has made us with agency. And so in the remaining time, let's talk about that power in us. What is that power for? And finally, where does that power ultimately come from? And we'll start simply by recognizing that there is power and strength in us. We have been made in the image of God. And among many, many other things, that means that God has given us agency. He's put power in us. He's blessed us with strength. And as much as we can always point at people who have way more power than we do, we also remember that there are people who have way less power as well. More importantly, sometimes it's helpful for us to simply identify what strengths God has given us. What God strengths he's given you. I mean, we obviously have just some strength stored in our muscles, the simplest kind. We have other strength in our abilities, still more in our intentions. Someone once said, knowledge is power. We talked about 4 weeks ago how God has granted us knowledge as well. So there's some strength in that as well. We also have power in our influence and our experience. We have the power that comes through what has happened in our lives previously, our history. We have the power that comes through our position. We have the power that comes through our relationships. And then there's simply the immediate power we can bring to bear on a problem, our time, our effort, our resources. That's a whole bunch of different categories of power that God has blessed us with, given to us. And I think it's important that as we begin talking about our power, we recognize first that we simply have some. God made us that way. And therefore, it shouldn't be surprising that how we use our power, our influence, our strength, our leadership, our relationships, our experiences, how we use that matters. Excuse me. So if God has given us power, why did he do it? What did he give us power for? And we begin by simply noticing that he has made us responsible for how we use power and strength and effort, that it matters. that he did it for a reason. More to the point, he didn't give you the strength he did just because. I'm reminded of the book of Esther in the Bible. Who knows, but maybe God has given you what he has and the influence you have and the power you have in this moment for such a time as this. In other words, maybe there's a reason he has you where he has you, in the relationships he has you, with the resources that he has you there. Maybe God has you at your work for a reason, because he wants to do something through you with the people around you at work. Maybe you have the relationships you do for a reason, because he's trying to do something through you in their lives. Maybe you've had the experiences you've had for a reason, as if God wants to change someone else through your experiences. Wants you to do something. The reality is that God may have something he wants done, and he's hoping that you are the one to see it through, and that is why he's given you the power he has. This also reminds us that power isn't just for power's sake. That there's a good kind of power and a not so good kind of power. Martin Buber said it this way: so long as man's power, that is his capacity to realize what he has in mind, is bound to the goal, to the work, to the calling, it is considered in itself neither good nor evil. It is only a suitable or unsuitable instrument. But as soon as this bond with the goal is broken off or loosened, and the man ceases to think of power as the capacity to do something, but thinks of it as a possession, that is, thinks of power in itself, then his power, being cut off and self-satisfied, is evil. It is power withdrawn from responsibility, power which betrays the spirit, power in itself. Ultimately, the reason God has given you the strength and power and agency he has is so that his will would be done. And the mistake we make is to think that our power is for our will to be done. Ultimately, God wants us caring about the things and causes and people that God cares about. God wants us to be faithful in the use of our strength. God wants us working to serve him and his purposes. And this is why God has given us what he has. It's not for us. It's to be used through us, by us. It's to help us love him more and love others more. In fact, this becomes even clearer when we remember where all this power and strength came from in the first place. One of the interesting things that our passage tells us is where Moses' strength comes from. In verse 2, we are told that the Lord is my strength and my defense. In other words, much of Moses' power comes not just from his own strength, but from God. And as far as I can tell, it isn't just because he's Moses, like Moses from the Bible. Like, of course, Moses has power because he's in the Bible. That's why. I mean, but I think his strength comes from his faithfulness in following after God and doing the will of God. If Moses had just stayed a shepherd, not followed God's will, I don't think we would have seen what we saw. I don't think there would have been plagues and a people freed from Egypt in quite the same way. And it wouldn't have come through either way. It wouldn't have come through Moses. Moses wouldn't have tapped into that awesome power that is God. Maybe it's Moses' faithfulness in following that allows him to do the will of God and to tap into the awesome power of God. In fact, later in the passage, Moses says, "In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them," implying that maybe it's our job to be listening and obedient to God's matters. What strikes me about this is that apparently there's a way for us to tap into the power of God. Though, as we just saw, it's not so that we can just possess more power, have more power for ourselves, but it's so that we can pursue the goals of God. The idea here is that if we can be moving with God, then we may find ourselves to not just have an easier time of it, but we also may grow more strength for the journey itself. That's not to say that it's always going to be easier. It won't, but it'll be better. You see, I'm fairly certain that God wants us using our strength towards God's purposes so that we can grow more strength. Often through practice and perseverance, we become more powerful. And this is important because it helps us when the way gets even harder in the future. Often in the Bible, we're not to pray for an easier path. We're to pray for better feet. We don't pray that everything's always going to go our way. We pray for the strength to go God's way. We don't pray for health and wealth. We pray that we can follow more faithfully. And as we do, we find ourselves not just becoming stronger, but we've also learned that we can endure more than we ever could have before. I'm often reminded that strength is something cultivated through challenge and hardships. It's built through doing work. But then it also is there the next time we encounter difficulties. It's funny that if you look back at that physics formula that we started with, power is force for a distance over time, you actually arrive at the same place. That as we exert our effort in the same direction that God wants, consistently over time, we grow our capacity, we grow in power. It's almost like God set the whole world up like that. As we faithfully overcome the difficulties before us, we grow in strength. And this helps us even more in the future, faithfully and powerfully follow after God. And of course, we remember all of our power and all of our strength is a gift. So let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the gift of strength, of power, of agency, that you made us in your image and you allow us to follow, to do your work, to do your will, to pursue you. Lord, we confess that sometimes we use our strength and our power for our own will to be done. Sometimes we lose sight of who you are. Sometimes it's our fear that keeps us from following. Sometimes it's our distractions. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to recognize the strength that you have given us, the courage you have given us, the power you have given us, and then we pray that we would use that toward your glory in our community, in our work, in our families, in our nation, in our church. Lord, help us recognize that maybe we have what we have, not just because of you, but for you. Lord, help us faithfully follow. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.